Brothers Utah Utes and BYU Football Podcast. We're two brothers, one a true blue BYU Cougars fan, the other a diehard Utah Utes fan, battle it out about BYU Cougars and Utah Utes football. It's the blue versus the red, Superman versus Batman. I'm your host, C-Double. Let me introduce you to our battling brothers. Our BYU fanboy is TC, and our Utah Utes diehard is K-Ray. How you guys doing this week?
Good, good. Football's finally here. Looking forward to actually
Let's get it on.
All right, let's jump right into it. So, Utah recently hired a new athletic director, Mark Harlan. Now, K-Ray, what impact will this have on the Ute season? What impact will it have on the coaches and personnel? And give us the rundown on, well, is this was that a good move or a bad move?
Well, let me start by saying that Dr. Chris Hill did amazing things for University of Utah athletics. I think every Ute fan is in gratitude and appreciative of everything he did, especially getting us into the Pac-12. He retired, so we had to hire someone, and I think Mark Harlan was a great hire. The energy he's brought to the campus, to the athletic department, he's got his own podcast where he interviews athletes. He's just bringing an energy that's fantastic. Now, what is it going to mean for the season? I don't know. Maybe nothing, right? But I think in the long term, I think he's great. I already like him a lot. He's reaching out to fans on Twitter, social media, there's already talk of stadium expansion, which could very well have already been started under Dr. Hill, certainly. But everyone's excited about having Mark Harlan on board, no question about it.
All right, TC, from a BYU perspective, what do you have to say, if anything, about Utah Utes' new AD?
Honestly, we're kind of hoping we kind of turn a new page in the relationship. Chris Hill wasn't exactly the most friendly to BYU. If you remember a few years back, he refused to play us, and he actually said that would make our schedule too hard. So, he wasn't the most accommodating. So we were kind of hoping that this would be kind of a new chapter in the book. But I guess our athletic director, Tom Holmo, had a discussion, and I guess I just quote this. Holmo came back and said, "Hey, Mark Harlan's a really good guy," but he added, "The Utes' small window for scheduling non-conference football games in Utah, it's hard for Utah to schedule BYU every year." So, from our perspective, this is kind of more of the same, Utah being a little shy away from scheduling BYU. It's hard to say they're scared of us because they've beat us for 7 years in a row, but there just doesn't seem to be the attitude of wanting to continue the rivalry, which I think from our end.
Okay, so let's get into that. That brings up another topic. Now, it sounds like, based on that quote from Tom Holmo, that Mark Harlan is a little hesitant on keeping BYU on the schedule every year. So, K-Ray, as a Utes fan, what's your take on that?
I guess I'm mixed. I like the game. I think it makes the season fun. But at the same time, I can understand that there's a need to schedule other out-of-conference games, given the rigor of the Pac-12, given the fact that we want to play outside of Utah, someone that's not in our backyard. Personally, I like the game. I know that not all Utah fans feel that way. Some Utah fans would rather never play BYU again. That's not me. I enjoy it. I enjoy the game. I think it makes it fun. That part of the season, the build up. I think I would rather play BYU the first part of the season, like we did last year. This year it is the last regular season game. I think I prefer it early in the season. I like the game.
So are you saying that Utah Utes do not want to play BYU because why? What's the reasoning behind some of those Utes fans thinking?
You know, a lot of them feel like we've moved on from the rivalry now that we're in the Pac-12. I don't know that I agree with that personally, but I think we're looking for other rivals. You know, we've had Colorado kind of pressed on us as our rival by the conference, and I don't think any of us really feel like Colorado's our rival. I think we look at USC more. We've had some really close games with USC. We've beat them. They've beat us. Now, does USC view us as their rival? Probably not. They've got Notre Dame and UCLA. There's some Utah fans that would rather just move on and leave BYU alone. Like I said, I don't feel that way, but there's certainly something to do.
Okay, so Utah thinks they're above BYU now that they're in the Pac-12. All right. That's what I'm hearing you say here.
That's a little bit of a leap, but I think there's probably a handful of fans that feel that way. Certainly.
Well, me being a Utah resident, I can certainly tell you that's absolutely true. Utes fans have become a little more conceited, if you will. I mean, I'm not calling out all Utes fans, but there are definitely some out there that have a big head and carry their heads high about being a member of the Pac-12. So let's bring up that topic. Now, everyone has debated BYU going independent versus the Mountain West, whether that was a good move or a bad move. But what about Utah's move to the Pac-12? So, TC, give us your thoughts on that from a BYU perspective. Was that a good move or a bad move for Utah?
Look, it's hard for me as a BYU fan to say that that was a bad move. I mean, BYU would kill to get into the Pac-12. So no doubt that was a good move. However, let me just say this. I don't think it has turned out the way Utah would have liked. Let's just go. Since they joined the Pac-12, here has been their record in the Pac-12. 2011, 4-5. 2012, 3-6. 2013, 2-7. 2014, 5-4. 2015, 6-3. 2016, 5-4. And last year, a whopping 3-6. So, I mean, if you want to play for, you know, third place every year in the Pac-12 South, I guess that's good. I honestly look at both teams and I kind of view their results on the field and at the end of season rankings as better in their original conference in the Mountain West. Objectively speaking, Utah just hasn't done much since joining the Pac-12 aside from being a member of the Pac-12, and you kind of see that when you talk to Utah fans. They don't really have much to say other than, well, we beat BYU and we're in the Pac-12.
That's a good summary. That is, I have heard that before. Yes, that sentiment is real.
Having said that, that's more than what BYU fans can say over the past couple years. So, you know, I kind of look at it, you know, BYU and Utah were both kind of on the same level as kind of Boise State. And, you know, Utah has gone to kind of Illinois status, and BYU has dropped even further down to Army status. So, you know, I get it. You're in the Pac-12. If you go undefeated, you're going to be in the national championship, or at least the Final Four, I guess. And BYU, there's always that question mark. If we go undefeated, are we or are we not? And so I think it kind of buys Utah that pathway to the championship. But, I mean, let's be honest, 3-6? I mean, I guess you get rid of BYU, what are you cheering for? Oregon State? I mean, if you're
all right. There's some good points there. Now, when you name out the records, that actually is kind of shocking because during the seasons, I mean, Utah has made it up to as high as ranked number 3 for some of the weeks. And I mean, they're always in the top 25. But yeah, when you look at their overall record, that actually actually, you make a good point. So, K-Ray, give us your thoughts on Utah being part of the Pac-12. Has it been good? Has it been bad?
It's been great. Are you kidding me? It's fantastic.
Like a true Utes fan.
Every week we're playing Oregon or UCLA or USC instead of Air Force, New Mexico, or Wyoming. It's great.
Yeah.
Our record in the Pac-12 since we've joined in 2011 is 7 games under .500, as TC has just elaborated on year by year. We've had some good years. 2015, we were tied for first with USC. We finished 17th in the AP poll that year. I think that's the year you were talking about earlier. There's another podcaster that I listen to, a Utah podcast, and they brought up a good point that rings true with me. When we joined in 2011, we tied for second in the South, and we had a chance to win it. We actually probably should have won it. We missed a field goal against Colorado. And I think that kind of may have set some unrealistic expectations in Utah fans' minds. Sure. There's definitely been a transition period since joining the conference. You know, that year we finished 8-5, we beat Georgia Tech in the Sun Bowl, after that there were 2 years in a row we did not make a bowl. Now in 14 we finished 21st in the AP poll, followed by 17th finish, followed by 23rd finish. We beat Colorado State, BYU, and Indiana in bowls, and then last year we beat West Virginia in the raging heart of Dallas Bowl. It's been great, and it's been disappointing, but it's been great, and we're pleased as punch to be here. We love it. As Coach Whittingham said within the last couple 3 weeks, we finally have P5 talent up on the hill. And the future looks bright.
Yeah.
Hey, let me just say one thing. There's no pretending that BYU would love to be in the Pac-12. But let me just say this: 2015, tied for first. Utah, their best year out of 7 years in the Pac-12, and where did it get? Las Vegas Bowl versus BYU.
Yeah, they tanked it at the end of that season. Yes.
You know, I just don't think. I mean, the success that Utah fans think they've had in the Pac-12, aside from being able to put, you know, one more sticker on their bumper.
So Utah has beaten BYU every year since they've been in the Pac-12. Though, is that correct? Okay, just making sure.
Yeah,
had to throw that out there. Yes. Well, here's my take as neither and both a Utah and BYU fan. It's Utah's fault for ruining the Mountain West. Let me say that. They basically, once they left, it just caused a huge uproar. It messed up every other team's place in the conference. You know, BYU was put in a position where they had an opportunity to leave. You had a bunch of other teams leaving. Boise State was going to join in. I think if Utah would have stayed in the Mountain West, the Mountain West actually probably would have been the sixth best conference in the country. And I think that you cannot fault Utah for going to the Pac-12. I mean, I love watching the games, you know, against some better teams, and Utah's actually done very well in the season, but then they usually tank it the last 3-4 games of the season, and that's what's killed them every season. So I think BYU's move to go independent was the dumbest move in college history. Literally, that was the dumbest move ever. I get it. They got their big TV contract, and I think my opinion, it holds some weight, because look where they're at now. I mean, look where they're at from before going independent till now.
Well, let's Well, let's keep in mind. I mean, 1 year last year is a snapshot. Four win season was not great. But I mean, look at years past before that. I mean, it wasn't a total disaster. You know, they had the Poinsettia Bowl win. You know, in Satake's first year versus Wyoming, that was a 9-win season. Before that, they had a 9-win season. In 2011, their first year, they had a 10-win season. So, I mean, it hasn't been
The problem, though. Look who they're playing to win those games. And that is the biggest issue. The biggest problem I think it's caused is recruiting. You got players who want to go to University of Utah, and you got players who have no interest in going to BYU, because even if you win every game, you're not guaranteed anything. So it just destroyed the program.
I actually think I disagree with both of you on one point. Given BYU's schedule this year and in future years, if they go undefeated in those years, I think they're in. I mean, they have this year you got Wisconsin and Washington.
Their schedule.
But it's a chicken versus egg. You got no recruits now, and then you got a harder schedule, so you're not going to win the games because you got no recruits. Well, you got the harder schedule to get the recruits, but it's just the chicken versus egg thing. So, I mean, if they can prove everyone wrong and beat Wisconsin and Washington and win these tough games, well, shoot, then I'll be the first one to admit I was wrong. But I don't see it happening. So,
speaking of changes at BYU, you led with an interesting story about Bronco Mendenhall and Kalani Sitake. I'm dying to hear this.
Let's get into it. We promised our listeners a little tasty morsel, a little tasty story, if you will. So, our very own PC may have single-handedly forced Bronco Mendenhall out as head coach and brought in Ty Detmer as offensive coordinator at BYU. So, not only did he get Bronco forced out of the head coaching position, he actually may be responsible for the nightmare that was BYU's previous two seasons. So, TC, give us the rundown. How did you play a role in bringing Ty Detmer to BYU?
All right. Well, first off, a couple points. I don't think Bronco was forced out. I mean, the guy left for a lot of money. So, I mean, he's probably getting paid three times as much as he was at BYU now that he's at UVA. So I don't think he was forced out. Now, I will say this. So the story goes that me and C Double were in Kansas City at a basketball game that BYU was playing against Texas, which they won, by the way. Tom Homo was sitting about two rows in front of us. He had an empty seat right next to him. And I'll be upfront with our listeners. I'm not a big Bronco Mendenhall fan. He made some game management decisions that were just complete head scratchers. Trying to kick the field goal against UCLA when we were down three, only to give the ball back, them go march down, score a touchdown, game over. And maybe one of the biggest head scratchers in the history of sports. It was the Miami Beach Bowl versus Memphis before the big brawl broke out, where there was about a minute left and we had three timeouts. Teams in years past, they'd march down the field, kick a field goal, win the game. But no, Bronco decides to use not one, but two of his timeouts to try to ice the point after try for a kicker that has never missed a point after try in his entire
career. There was
a large segment of fans that were kind of at their wits' ends with some really questionable calls that Bronco was making, during games. And so I was more or less at my wits' end, and I turned to Double C and I said, you know, I ought to just go tell Homo. He needs to axe Bronco and bring in Ty Detmer. And as we were talking during the game, C-Double was more or less egging me on, trying to get me to go do it. And so I decided, heck, you only live once. So I went down, I sat right next to Tom Homo, struck up a conversation, told him how, he was doing a great job, which I think he was. And I said, the one thing I think you can fix is you really need to look at getting rid of Bronco. And I said, look what's going on at Texas Tech. They brought back a former player, Cliff Kingsbury. He's doing great. I said, you could do the same thing with Ty Detmer. Imagine having a Heisman Trophy winner in a recruit's home. He didn't really listen to me much. He just kind of gave me a sour look. And I said my piece. And then me and C-Double had a story to tell from there on out.
So let me clear up part of this story here. You did go down and talk to him. You didn't bring up Cliff Kingsbury at that moment. You came back a little frustrated because he's like, you said, I don't think you heard me. He didn't understand what I was saying. He didn't get it. He did not get it. I'm like, well, did you bring up Ty Detmer? He's like, well, I did, but he didn't understand it. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, you got to go back and talk to him. You got to go back. And you were a little hesitant. Oh, I don't want to. Well, then he came walking up the aisle right past our seats, and I'm like, now go out there and bring up Cliff Kingsbury, like tell him. So you jumped out right in front of him, stopped him in the middle of the aisle, and you said, well, you gotta think of Cliff Kingsbury. And he's like, what about him? And you're like, well, yeah, he's a great coach, and you gotta bring in Ty Detmer. So needless to say, it got worse, not better, after that.
All right, yeah, that's true. I don't think I was as animated as that, but let me just say one thing. My suggestion was to bring him in as a coach, not offensive coordinator. So I'm not going to take all.
That is true. Yeah, well, okay, that's the question. Would it have been any different if he was the head coach?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Our own TC is the one who put the bug in Homo's ear to bring Ty Detmer in. Well, all right. As a BYU fan, okay, let's just get this out real quick, and then we'll go into our next segment, which is the game-by-game prediction for the season. Real quick, did Sitake bring in Detmer as offensive coordinator, or was that Homo saying, hey, listen, I want you to bring in Detmer, and kind of pressuring and forcing Sitake to bring him in?
I don't think anybody knows except for Homo and Sitake, but I mean, most people say it's probably Homo saying, hey, he's coming. Hey, before we move to the last segment, let me just comment one thing. Tanner Mangum named starting quarterback. Congrats to him. Hope he carries us through to Arizona. So if you recall last week, I was kind of on the Zach Wilson train, but now that the decision has been made, I'm fully behind Mangum. I will say this, however, a lot of colleges naming true freshman quarterbacks as starters this season, USC being one of them. You got some other big names like Nebraska, Minnesota, a bunch of teams naming true freshman quarterbacks, but fully behind Tanner.
Yeah, that was a big development this week for BYU. So, I mean, as the days went by, it kind of became a little more clear that most people thought he would start, and he did. So, should be interesting to see that and how that plays out. So, let's go week by week and get the predictions of each game this year from TC and K-Ray. So, K-Ray, let's jump right into the Utah Utes schedule. Week one, Weber State. Who do you got?
I got a victory there.
Okay.
don't get me wrong. I don't think we're taking that game or the next game against Northern Illinois for granted. Certainly not Northern Illinois. Yeah. Weber State is played really well last year, and they're going to be hungry. And I'm just excited for football to start. I do think we take care of business in those first two games, for sure. The Northern Illinois game, that's, look, that's back when we were in the Mountain West or the WAC, that's the kind of game we live for. For first couple weeks when a big boy from a big conference comes into your house, like Texas A&M, when they came in to Rice-Eccles Stadium, many years ago. I think 2004 maybe, and we beat them. A lot of people actually think that kind of set us on a path to where we are right now. Just that one game. I don't know if I agree with that, but it was certainly a big moment for us. And that's the kind of thing Northern Illinois is looking to do right now as well. They open at Iowa, which certainly a game I'll be watching closely. But I think we start 2-0 with Washington coming to town. National TV, ESPN, and I think we beat Washington. I think we started 3-0.
That's a big one. That's a big one.
Yep. That's game before a bye week. Never like to go into a bye week with a loss. That is a long 2 weeks with a loss before a bye week. But that's going to be the game early on that tests our mettle and tells us what we're made of.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay, he's got Utah over Washington. That's a good pick. Interesting one.
Next up is Washington State. I think we take care of that. That's in Pullman. I feel like Washington State is always better towards the end of the year. I'm not sure why that is, but seems to be how they progress.
Wait a minute. Is the Lehigh quarterback, is he at Washington State this year, or is it what's his name?
Cooper.
Yeah, this is his freshman year. Yeah. Cameron Cooper.
I don't know if he's their starter or not.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I think they just named.
I think they got a guy coming back. If I'm not mistaken, but
Okay. All right. So next week is Stanford.
Yep.
Ranked 13 currently. Who do you got?
Well, we match up really well against Stanford, but I think that's our first loss of the season.
Okay.
At Stanford.
So you got yourselves 4-1. 4-1 at that point.
4-1 with Arizona coming to town. Short week. Luckily, it's a Friday night game. Luckily, it's a short week at home, and that is going to be a loud game, night game. I think we beat them. I think we beat Arizona, and we go 5-1 with USC coming to town next week, and I think we beat USC as well. We go 6-1. Wow. I think our next game is at UCLA, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, that's another Friday night game. That game scares me. I'm not sure why. UCLA, we've played them very well. New coach, new system. Your boy Chip Kelly, C double. But I think that's a loss for us as well. I've got a loss at Stanford and at UCLA.
Okay.
For Utah.
Yeah. Utah always struggles in LA, whether it's USC or UCLA.
Yep. Then Arizona State. I think we beat the Sun Devils. That's actually in Tempe, but I think Herm Edwards, man. Looking forward to that,
coach.
Yep. Oregon. I think we beat Oregon. That's at home. We've got the Oregon killer back in Britton Covey. So I think we take care of Oregon. And then I think we finish out. We beat Colorado and BYU, and we finish 10-2 on the season. A rather bullish 10-2 by me.
Yeah, there we go. There we have it. 10-2. All right, TC, what do you say about that prediction there for Utah?
All right, so I mean, that's pretty high in the sky prediction. I'll bring everybody back down to reality for a little bit here. They win their first two games. They start off 2-0. I actually think you guys might be able to beat Washington. I remember a couple years ago, you actually should have beaten them, and there was a really bad call on a kick return or something like that that ended up being the difference in the game. So
last year,
man, I don't know. I mean, and Washington could go to and lose to Auburn. I actually think you guys could win that game, but I think you're going to struggle at Washington State. They kind of have the offense to kind of pick people apart. You know, Utah's really good at stopping the run up front. I don't know how good they are at defending the pass. Maybe they're better than I think.
So, wait, you're saying they beat Washington, lose to Washington State? Okay, interesting.
Right,
all
right. Right, yep. I mean, home, away, that's a big difference in college football. I think they lose their next one at Stanford. And then I think they beat Arizona. I think again, they have the defense to stop the run, and Khalil Tate's going to try to run. I think Utah's run-stop defense is pretty good. I just hope Travis Wilson doesn't come back and run around. that was just weird. USC, again, man, it's a home game. I think USC wins. They're just athletically superior. At UCLA, I think they could actually win. At Arizona State, I say they win. Oregon, I say they win. Colorado, they win. And I'm going to go with BYU in the last game of the season. So I don't know what that amounts to. I think
8-4.
I got 1, 8-4. 2, 3, yep. 4
okay,
losses.
Okay, there we go. There we have it. The prediction on the Utah Ute season. Now, before we go to BYU season, hey, Ray, give us your connection with the Weber State head coach real quick. Come on.
No.
Lay it on us. Don't hold back.
Jay Hill, he's a really good guy by all accounts.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to give the dirt.
Maybe, all right, maybe
let's save that one for next week. So that'll be a good one, because we'll talk about the Weber State game, and we'll talk about our own K-Ray's unique little relationship he's had with the head coach over there at Weber State. So, all right, let's jump into BYU here. TC, give us your predictions starting week one, Arizona.
All right. I think we probably lose the first game. Khalil Tate, man, if you've seen some of his numbers from last year, I mean, he was running for like 200 to 300 yards a game when he first started. BYU actually has, I think, the linebackers to corral him. But man, once they bust through that first kind of line of defense, I don't know if our backs have the speed to keep up with him. I mean, he is smoking fast. So I'm gonna say we probably lose. I think we beat Cal at home. We're gonna lose to Wisconsin. Hornibrook, I think, missed one pass last year versus us. And man, that guy can get dialed in. McNeese State will beat them at Washington. Yeah, that's probably a loss. I think we'll beat Utah State at home. I think if it were in Logan, I would go with Utah State, but I'm going to go with the home crowd there Friday night. Nothing better to do in Provo than go to a football game. So I think that will even us up at 3-3. I think we, man, this is a really tough one. I would have said Hawaii is a walk-off win, but watching them the other night versus Colorado State, I mean, they looked like a top 25 team.
Yeah, they look good.
Their offense was. So I'm actually gonna say Hawaii.
Okay.
I wouldn't have said that two nights ago. So then I think we beat Northern Illinois, even it up 4-4. I think we probably lose to Boise State, and I think we lose to UMass. They beat us last year at home, and they've got all of their key players back. It's at their stadium. I'm trying to find ways we can win, and I'm kind of relying on just kind of BYU history there, but that doesn't matter once you take the field. We'll beat New Mexico State, so that puts us at 5-6, and you already know my prediction. I think we corral Tyler Huntley with our linebackers, and there's no caring for Delvin out this year. He's on the Cowboys. So Britton Covey maybe that key player. We'll see. But you know, 2 years is a long time to be away from football. So I think we win the last game. I think we break the streak. I think we go 6-6 to become.
There we go. There we have it. Season breakdown. Now, as a Utes fan, K Ray, what do you got? What do you think of that break?
Yeah, I've got BYU with 4 wins this year. Those 4 wins are McNeese State, Utah State, Hawaii, and New Mexico State. Those are the 4 wins for BYU this year.
Wow! Rough season for BYU ahead, according to K Ray here, huh?
I would like to introduce you to Mr. Zach Moss, our running back. He is a beast, and he is he's going to enjoy playing Utah.
There we go. There we have it. All right, that wraps up this week's podcast. And next week, we'll give you a little another tasty little morsel about how our own K Ray has a unique little relationship with our Weber State head coach here. So Jay Hill,
he's a great guy. He legitimately is a very, very good person.
All right. Well, that doesn't sound interesting. It's actually more interesting than that. So. All right. So that does it for week 2. And next week, we'll be talking about the big games that we watched. So season starts Saturday. We're all looking forward to it. And we hope to have all you guys back. So peace.
Go Utes.
Go Cougs.